Good afternoon and welcome back to Public Radio in Great Falls, Montana. Coming out of Great Falls, Montana, KGPR Great Falls at 89.9 FM. And on the phone today, we have Jane Weber. She is the Cascade County Commissioner. Good afternoon, Jane.
Good afternoon, Tom.
And how are you holding up with this COVID-19? How are you doing down there at the County Commission office?
Well, you know, one thing I just want your listeners to know is that the county is open for business. And so we have had folks think that we're all closed up, but no, there's operations happening, although they've been modified in some of our departments, and we can get to that later. But we're open for business, and the city-county health department, which is managed by the county, it has been very busy, very busy. And we can talk a little bit, Tom, about the role that the public health department has played in the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yes, I'd like to start there. Public health, COVID-19, obviously the big news. How are you guys working with the effects of COVID-19?
Well, you know, public health has many roles in our community, and most people might think of their experience with public health from, gee, I built a new house in the rural community and I had to get a septic tank, so I talked to them about my location for my septic tank. Or I own a restaurant and they come in and they inspect my food handling process in my restaurant, or I have a tattoo parlor and they're coming and checking me, or the public swimming pool, they're coming to check my swimming pools. But they do much more. There are three divisions in public health. One of them is called prevention services, one of them is called environmental health, and one of them is called family services. So in relation to COVID-19 pandemic, prevention services is prime, but environmental health is also very involved, and we can chat about their role. So public health and prevention services is to prevent the spread of contagious diseases. Diseases like pertussis, whooping cough, you know, we've had that in our community in the past. We've had measles scares in our community in the past, which never did pan out to be anything, but that's a very contagious disease. Syphilis is something that happens in our community, is contagious. And obviously COVID-19 is contagious also. So they have been the primary entity that has been working on organizing in our community for prevention of transmission in the community. You know, Tom, you and I chatted a little bit about how the public health department is structured.
Right.
So those are the divisions, but how is it funded is kind of an interesting way. All of the employees for the Cascade City County Public Health Department are county employees. They're paid for by the county. They have their retirement system and everything through the county. But the city contributes money to the county to assist with that financially, because many of our residents live within the city limits of Great Falls. And it's just sort of the flip side of how the library works here in Great Falls. That's a city employee library, but the county contributes funds to the library to assist with that function within the city. So it's a city-county health department, but it's operated through Cascade County, and all the employees are Cascade County employees. We have a public health officer, and that's Tricia Gardner, and she manages the public health department. So what's the difference? Because in the past, there used to be a community health care center, or clinic, I'll call it, in the same building as the public health department, and there was a lot of confusion about that. I'm hoping that confusion is gone now, because public health is very different than a community health care center, which I now will call a clinic. A community health care center clinic treats a patient. Public health treats the community, or serves the community, to prevent contagious disease from spreading throughout the community. So their role is very, very different than a clinic, and their role is very, very important. They do things like what is called, most people have heard this terminology now, contact tracing. So public health officer has a lot of authority to initiate orders to protect the health and safety of the community. And Trish Gardner actually, very early on, put into place an order which closed our restaurants, our bars, our coffee bars, our bowling alleys, our gyms, movie theaters, to everything but drive it through or curbside pickup and delivery. She did that the day before the governor did it here in Cascade County. The very next day, Governor Bullock did the very same thing across the state. And so our public health officers have the ability to do that because we didn't know the governor was going to do it the next day. She had painstakingly discussed this with medical providers and talked about the potential for spread within the community and felt that that was a vehicle for spread where people were getting close together in restaurants and bars and casinos and gymnasiums, those kinds of things. So she took that initiative proactively one day in advance of the governor, not knowing that the governor was going to do it the next day. So, you know, that's a heavy burden, I think, for a public health officer to have to shoulder. Those are big decisions. They're decisions that affect the economy of our community, affected many people directly because of lost jobs, affected the businesses that lost business or had to close because of the nature of their business. That is a very tough decision to make. But her role, again, is to make sure that community safety takes precedence. And in this case, that social distancing requirement by closing those facilities was a way to do that. I think it was a wise decision that she made. And while she took some heat over that, I have to commend her for her bravery and courage to do that. So that's one of the things that a public health department can do and does do.
Now, does the Cascade County Commission have a say in that, working with public health and Tricia Gardner,
Not necessarily. Okay. The public health officer has supreme authority to do that, and the commissioners do not have to be consulted in that case. Now, I will tell you that Tricia Gardner is very good about consulting with the commissioners, but we don't vote on it. If she wants to make that a decision to place a public health order in place, she has the authority by law, by Montana law, to do that. And so she doesn't take that responsibility lightly, I will tell you that.
Now, how has the Cascade County Commissioner's role changed with the COVID-19 virus?
Well, I would say that we're more in a supportive role to the incident command team. So, for instance, the public health officer can open up the emergency operations center, which she has done. She and her staff can organize the incident command team. One of her staff is the incident command team leader on that team. And many of her staff in public health are members on that team, as well as folks that come from our first responders community. I mean, our ambulance, our fire, our law enforcement folks, as well as our disaster emergency services folks. But the public health department is the incident commander. One of the staff members is the incident commander on that team. And they meet daily and brief each other, and they work with the community. I have to tell you that they practice this well in advance. They do many simulations of having this kind of an event occur in the community. And now it's very revealing how efficient they are in pulling together the right people to be able to coordinate communication and coordinate services. So let me just tell you, Tom, when the Emergency Operations Center was, we call it stood up, when it's put in place and begins to be operational, even if it's on a part-time basis. They basically brought in many of our health care providers to talk about what we wanted to do in this community to make sure that our facilities had the proper protective equipment, personal protective equipment, PPE as everybody's knowing it now, making sure that they had the right staffing, starting to talk about what do we do if you have overwhelming number of cases that come into your facility, how do you want to handle that, when do we need to request additional equipment from the stockpile, which everybody knows now has been depleted, but our community requested items from the stockpile weeks ago because we anticipated the need because communication was in place between all of the providers and our public health department who had set up the incident command team. So there are things that they're discussing on a regular basis, and it changes depending on the situation for the COVID-19 as it evolves over time. So, I mean, they've talked about things of whether if we have more cases than our hospitals can handle, mm-hmm. are there certain cases that could possibly be taken care of in another location? So they've already been looking into that. What if homeless people begin to come down with COVID-19? Where can we accommodate helping people that have that happen in their community, too? And so how do we help people that need food? What's going on with Meals on Wheels? Do they have enough drivers? All of that comes into play in communication with an incident command team.
You talked about having enough supplies. Are you pretty confident about that? They've had shortages like of ventilators and masks in other parts of the country. Do you work with the hospitals at all? Talk to the hospitals?
Absolutely. The hospitals are in constant contact with the incident command team. And, Tom, I have to be honest with you, that level of detail of information I'm not privy to because mm-hmm. that is being dealt with between the hospitals, the providers, and our incident command team leadership. So, but I would say that, you know, nationwide we have a shortage. Mm-hmm. We all know we have a shortage. So nobody has what they need nationally in order to take care of this pandemic.
I know you're not a public health officer, but how is the commission feeling as far as are we peaking yet in Cascade County? Are there any talks about reopening, that type of thing?
We are not discussing reopening. Mm-hmm. In fact, in Cascade County, we have directed many of our employees in Cascade County to go home and work remotely from home. Many of our employees, fortunately, do have laptops, so they can work from home and we can communicate with them from home. How we're operating in Cascade County with meetings now is through technology. We are not sitting in commission chambers together at any time for even our work sessions or our commission meetings. They're being handled remotely, and they are posted on our website for the Cascade County website. So anybody as a public can actually join our meeting as a participant. And then when the commission chair, who is currently Jim Larson, the chairman, when he's conducting the meeting, at the appropriate time when we want to ask for public comment, people can actually raise their hand electronically mm-hmm. and be acknowledged that they want to comment, and they get into a queue by how they push a button to raise their hand, and then they can be called upon to comment just as though they were in the room.
And when are the meetings held?
Well, our commission meetings are always the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 9:30 in the morning. And then our work sessions are the previous Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Our whole commission schedule is on the website for Cascade County, always has been. So
now you mentioned the city commission. Can you tell me how you work with the city commission, or even if you do?
Well, we do. I will tell you that when the Emergency Operations Center was stood up initially, there was a press conference, and both the mayor and myself were at that press conference, and we were involved in the very beginning opening of it. The mayor calls me on occasion. I don't know if he's contacting other commissioners, but because I've been involved with the EOC and because I sit on the Board of Health and have been very involved with public health for some time now, the commissioners, and Owen Robinson sits on the Board of Health. So Commissioner Robinson from the City Commission and the mayor and I are in contact via emails. Now, occasionally, just so you know, and this is an aside, sometimes the city and the county commission have joint meetings. When we have an issue that we feel needs to be discussed between both local governments, we sometimes have joint meetings. We haven't seen the need to do that in this situation.
Now, I believe we have three county commissioners representing three districts. Is that right?
Well, three county commissioners that must be living in the three different districts. Mm-hmm. But all county residents get to vote for all three of the county commissioners when they're up for election. Okay. So there isn't a distinction of, it's not like the legislature where I live in a certain district and I only get to vote for one legislator. Every county resident gets to vote for any county commissioner who's up for election. So that's the way it works with county.
You mentioned, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So I'll just talk a little bit about what we're doing in Cascade County as far as operations. But before we do, I just want to make sure that the public understands what contact tracing is. Public health also receives any notification of somebody in our community who has tested positive. They are notified. They are required to be notified by the healthcare provider, the doctor, the nurse practitioner, whoever ordered that testing. And then what happens is public health actually contacts and interviews the individual who has tested positive. And they ask questions like, when did you get your symptoms? Where have you been the last so many days? Who are you in contact with? Give me the names of every person that you can remember being in contact with. And then public health department contacts those individuals and says, you may have been in contact with a person who has tested positive, gives them some advice as what to do, and then calls them routinely, that list of people, and says, checks in on them, says, do you have symptoms? Have you had symptoms? If they have symptoms, then they make some advice on whether testing's warranted and whether they need additional contact tracing, because that individual then may have been in contact with additional people. So you can see the chain of contacts for tracing can get very large if you actually have a large number of cases in your community. As of this interview, we have 13 confirmed positive cases in Cascade County, some who have already passed through the system and have been healed. They're fine. They've gone through their 14-day period of having it, and they have no symptoms anymore, no fever, and so they're fine and they're back into the community. But we've had 13 cases. Of those 13 cases, almost every single one can be traced back to an out-of-state travel. So that makes it very simple. You can imagine what it would be like if you were in Gallatin County or Lewis and Clark or Missoula or Flathead, where they have what is called community spread, where they can actually trace back, where did this person get this from? That becomes really difficult. Right now in Cascade County, we don't believe we have community spread, and we are able to do that contact tracing. You know, the other thing I want to let your listeners know is it's not just putting up the emergency operations center. It's not just communicating with all the folks in our community that are involved with responding, like our ambulance drivers and our firemen, to individuals who are having difficulty breathing and may have symptoms of COVID-19. It's not just communicating with them. We also, the Environmental Health Division of Public Health, is tasked with having to make sure we have compliance. And, you know, there's a lot of governor's directives that have come down recently, and when complaints come in that someone's not following the governor's directives, then our Environmental Health Department has to be the one that checks it out. And
what would be an example of that?
Well, an example of that would be somebody who is opened their store, didn't close their retail store.
So you'd actually recommend sending someone down there of authority?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Our environmental health people then would check that out, and they would contact them and say, you're supposed to be closed. You're a non-essential business.
And I imagine there'd be fines with that if they didn't comply.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so that's not a very comfortable position for environmental health to be in, but that's their role during a pandemic like this, is making sure that people are in compliance with the directives that our governors put in place and also with any orders that our public health officer has put in place. And just so you know, our public health officer can put tighter restrictions in place than the governor has, but cannot loosen the governor's directives.
That's good to know.
So mostly we align with the governor's directives as much as possible. We may be like we were with closing restaurants out in advance one day, but then we were in compliance and accepted the governor's directives because they were essentially the same as ours. So we formally go through that kind of a process.
So, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's a tough job for public health. They have a lot to do with this. So again, what I just want to leave your listeners with on public health is that, remember, a clinic or a healthcare provider treats a patient,
right,
and public health treats the community as a whole. That's their role, community-wide health. And it's an important thing. And I'll just also end with, you know, if we do get a vaccine for this, do you remember the drive-through flu shot clinics over at Expo Park where you stick your arm out your car door and you can get your regular flu shot?
Right.
Those are practice runs for us to be able to give vaccinations for a pandemic just like this. We stage those purposefully for the convenience of you and I, Tom, to get our flu shot, but also to practice on how we would administer vaccinations for something such as this. If a vaccine becomes available, I'm sure there will be drive-through vaccines for COVID-19 right here in our community, so we can quickly vaccinate many people.
I have to ask you, are we doing testing openly or publicly? Or if somebody is concerned that they might have COVID-19, where do they go for testing?
Oh, the first thing they should do is call their own provider, their personal provider. And their personal provider will advise them. They'll talk to them and ask them questions about their symptoms, and then they'll send them to where they can get the testing done. And there are several locations in our community that are doing the testing. Great Falls Clinic is doing the testing, Benefice is doing the testing, Alluvian is doing the testing. So there are any number of places that you can get the testing done. And I believe there are some private providers that can do the testing too in their office. But just don't get in the car and go somewhere. Call your primary provider first, because people don't want sick people being associated with non-sick people. So there are precautions that need to be taken. And they want to know in advance if you're on your way and you want to be tested, and your provider has suggested that you do be tested.
Now, you mentioned commission is open for business.
Yeah.
Are you on a limit? You're not talking about people actually walking into the office.
Well, let me just tell you, when I say we're open for business, that means we are conducting business, okay. But it may not be the same way we always do conduct business.
Sure.
So, for instance, the elections office is pretty much conducting business as they always do. I'll just remind your listeners that the school ballot is an all-male ballot. It has always been an all-male ballot, and that ballot will go out on April 20th. But if you're not registered to vote right now, you need to get in to get your mail ballot, and you can come right into the elections office at 325 Second Avenue North, which is the courthouse annex. People are there, and they can help you get registered to vote right then and there in the building. But if you want to go over to the treasurer's office, or if you want to go to the clerk and recorder's office, you need to call their office in advance, Tom. They're setting up appointments so that they don't have lines of people and crowds of people in the building. And that has been working very well. So folks that need to be there and talk to the treasurer or get your plates, get your tags for your plates, and you can't do it online. Most people can do it online, and they're now learning how to do it online. But if you have some complication that requires you to talk to the treasurer's office, just call them up, and they'll make an appointment for you. And the same thing with the clerk and recorder's office. Most titles can do e-filing, and all of our title companies know how to do that and have access to free e-title filing online, and so they're doing that. But again, if you need something at the clerk and recorder's office, for instance, you need a birth certificate or a death certificate, again, call ahead, tell them how many you want, and then they'll instruct you what to bring in order to receive it, and they'll have it ready for you, so it's just a handoff. Mm-hmm. We just don't want people standing in lines and being at counters. I will tell you, though, that Expo Park is totally closed. We locked the gates several weeks ago, and we're just not having any admittance onto the grounds, because that way we don't have any maintenance staff that needs to be over there. We have someone that does walk through and patrol it to make sure that it's in good shape on a couple times a day, but we don't have staff working behind their desks. They're all working remotely from home. The county commissioners have been coming into our office, but again, I close my door. Somebody has to ring the bell out at the front, because our administrative assistant is not there at the counter. And if we need to, then we step out and try to assist folks from a safe distance.
Yes.
6 feet at a minimum. Usually I'm 10 feet back from the people. The sheriff's office and the adult detention center have really not changed the way they conduct business with their own employees, but they've changed protocols. And so we need to protect both our clients, detainees at the adult detention center and at the juvenile detention center. So all of those employees that we have in the sheriff and the juvenile detention center, they're all working. But they have certain protocols in place. There's no visitation going on up there. They're doing temperature taking for everyone before they come on the shift. And anybody that goes into booking, the officer that brings them into booking, whether it's a city police officer or a highway patrolman or our own deputy, they're checking their temperature before they're even allowed into booking, as well as the temperature of the accused. So there's a lot of protocols that they have in place, and even more than that, that I'm not even privy to, because they're protocols that our adult detention center and juvenile detention center don't want other people to know, because they've got them in place for a reason.
That's some great information. Jane, how about some contact information and final thoughts?
Well, you know, if anybody has a question about what's going on with COVID-19, you really should just Google up Cascade City County Health Department. They have got a great website. Montana also has a great website, and so it's just covid19.mt.gov, and that'll bring you up to the Montana website. You can contact the public health office at 454-6950. While we have sent many of the people home that are not directly working on COVID-19 and they're working from home, there is a staff working at the health department, but it's closed down too. You can't just walk into the health department right now. You need to call ahead. And you can always call the commission office at 454-6810, and we can answer questions here too.
Jane Weber, Cascade County Commissioner, thank you for your time, and thank you for being here on Local Public Radio.
My pleasure, Tom. Stay home, stay well.